And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show,
Block to Block Radio, here on 91.5 FM, KKUP, Cupertino. In the casa, I got Tony Ortega, treasurer of the Eastridge Little League, along with Jerry Soriano, presidente. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, buenos dias, David. All right, thank you very much for having us here, inviting us for this program.
All right, man.
Same thing.
No problem, man. I'll tell you what, man. I'm a part of the Eastridge Little League.
That's right.
You know, I'm part of the family, so I got to do what I can do. So won't you guys go ahead, take it away. Won't you go ahead, Jerry, give us a little history on the Eastridge Little League. And, you know, how long has it been around? And
well, I came into the league in 1972, 74, I believe, and they were basically just getting started on the fields that we now presently are located on. Through some kind of compromise with the Reed Hillview Airport and the Little League people who were interested in founding a Little League, we were established there. And I basically came from a Little League right across the street called Evergreen, and I moved into the area. And little did I know that I would be eventually affiliated with something that I've grown to love and really respect because of what we're involved with, and that's children. Mm-hmm. I started there. I was just telling Tony, I started there as a player agent. My wife was the first snack shack operator.
Oh, wow.
In those days, we didn't have a sprinkler system. We had no real irrigation system. The fields were full of rabbits, squirrels, everything. And we would come out there preseason, and we'd have like 40 mowers, or the old-fashioned type of mowers, or we'd have to cut all the weeds down.
Oh, wow.
Through time and effort, we basically organized things so that we, and I think Tony will touch upon some of those things, we basically made it what it is now, yeah. A decent-looking field through some help and real work through self-motivation on our part. I became the president, I think, the second or third year after I was in the league, and I've been treasurer for a little while, and I've been a coach for the big league team for about 6 or 7 years, and then I came back, and up until the present, I have been the president for at least 20 years, I think, something like that. The experience has been a noble one, and I'm gratified that I put in this time and this effort.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a blessing to be around kids and to see them 40 years later and say, hey, Jerry, and you don't recognize them. They recognize you, yeah. And they still remember the good things. And yeah. A lot of good things have happened. We've had children become policemen, politicians, administrators, teachers. It's really great to see the big changes. They don't necessarily become big, great baseball players, but they find something in their lives that is connected.
And that's the importance of Little League. And even more so, Eastridge Little League in the community that it caters to.
I just want to touch upon the fact that where we're located at. We're located, again, like Jerry said, on the Hillview Airport on that land there. And we've been there since 73, 74. And a lot of times we look at it and we're self-sufficient, self-maintenance, and as compared to other Little Leagues. Usually other Little Leagues are at a high school or a park. Or elementary school where there are some assistance from the schools or for the county. We're basically self-sufficient, and that's where our needs are, because we do need some money to maintain that field with the water bill, you know, the maintenance of the field, to make that field that's a quality playing ground for our kids. Our boundaries are basically our kids. We have about 350 to 400 kids in our Little League. And majority of our kids come from the boundaries, like if you can envision this, Capitol, Story, Tully, and King Road. What we used to call in those days, and a lot of people don't like necessarily want to say it, but it's the Tropicana area. That's the head right in the barrio, you know. And we've been there, we don't have room to grow, because other Little Leagues like Evergreen can grow. So primarily our registration fee is the lowest in Santa Clara County. You know, we purposely do it that because you look at the socioeconomic basis there. You know, a lot of blue collar workers, not a lot of families own their business. A lot of construction worker, and you know how that construction work is down. So, and our sponsorship are not really a large number. We have about 15, I think, sponsors. Fortunately, like I'll give you a couple examples who have been loyal to us, like McDonald's. That's Rudy Lemus there on Tully Road. He has about 3 million. He's been real good. There's been Dan Duran. He's from the Tropicana. He's a manager of the store there. Then there's Delgado, I think Professors Realty. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few, not to mention the other ones. So the bottom line is that our monies are pretty limited, and we're always looking in terms of donation sponsorship. For what we had, this kind of things that we're looking at. And fortunately for Angela Tirado, who is one of our parents, and she was able to get... had connection with some of the city councilmen,
oh, yeah,
like Wynn, Campos, George Sharakawa. They donated money for some of our kids who cannot afford to play, you know. So she was really instrumental in that. Then we had we have a scholarship fund for our academics. We Mark Delgado, who was a former player and also in fact, I guess he's got some children that are playing in our softball field, and you know, and he started up the academic scholarship. So those kind of stuff that we're doing to help our kids in the community, and I think a lot of that you can see some progress in that respect in terms of seeing our kids continue the education. And we know that we don't see it as a career in baseball, but we see them as part of the keeping them out of the streets, keeping them busy, keeping them involved, and learning about working with people, working with community, and that's the highlight of it. And we really enjoy that. That's our motivation, Joey and I, seeing that we see these kids developing, and especially into the education.
Tony briefly talked about our expenses, and we're just to run our league. We're talking about over $35,000 a year. Somehow we're able to come up with that through registration, through a cake sale. You went to our cake sale,
yeah,
right?
No.
We made $2,000 that night. Our snack shack through Rose the Delgados have helped us keep abreast of meeting our expenses. And we have to go into the new year when we're down after the season and make sure that we can take care of our water expense and small expenses until we get started again. So, yeah, the sponsors play a huge role when we can get them. And our biggest donator was R.C. Jones, who resurfaced the field that your children now play on, that softball field, and that was freely done. We got into a contest and we won, and hopefully we helped solve a huge problem in watering that field. But it's something now that's available for softball and for the T-ballers mainly during the season.
And they developed that softball field, and we have an active softball team now. There are two of them, I believe, right, Jerry?
Really? Yeah.
So the league is growing. It's constantly growing despite the struggle.
Our numbers at one time exceeded 400. That was in the old days before the computer came in and the internet and all these games that children are playing. Soccer, I remember, was a no-no. What are you guys doing? Kicking that ball around. And I remember having some difficulty with soccer people, but now they're all over the place. So those youth groups, other than other baseball programs, compete against us and have hurt us over the years and our numbers. And all of a sudden, because of softball and a revived interest in kids who maybe just want to play ball, all of a sudden, our numbers are beginning to grow. Tony just mentioned that we're in close to 400 again. So that's basically good. The T-ball program is one of our best programs,
though,
because we get the little kids who are 4 years old, and we get a lot of parents who are influenced by the game at that stage and want to stick around. So so it becomes something for them to be engaged in. The key is how do you make it fun and not dull and not a working thing for those little kids. They have to have fun at T-ball, okay? That's a fun game. And then our Pee-wee program is picked up, and our major program is picked up a little. What we lost was the senior program, and we'd love to get that back. Hopefully, if high school, you know, cuts back on some of its long-range programs. But that's just talking about the future.
And I just want to mention, you know, I've been there about 25 years. Jerry's been 35 years. One of the unique things about our league is that we've had about three or four individuals who've been there a long time. I mean, this is 30 plus. Usually, Little League, other Little Leagues, they move on. After their kids go on, the board moves on. But fortunately, like Robert Delgado, Jerry and I and Rose Soriano and a couple other have been there, and we've been the stable aspect of this league. But one of the things about, we noticed that we've never had any gang problems.
Mm.
That's one thing we never had any vandalism, very few vandalism. A lot of kids, they come in there, and they come to play, they leave with respect. Mm. Another thing is generational. Just think about this. You're coaching your son's team or daughter's team, right? Just think about it 20 years from now. You know, it's so positive because they're going to come back. My son came back. He played for the league, and his children are playing. Of course, they moved out. We saw other little leaguer, what I coached, Jerry has coached, David come back, and their kids are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the grad, and we can't even recognize them. I don't even hardly remember. They remember us, you know? And it was such a positive experience. So I'm just saying that in terms of a gang or any problems, violence, very little violence in our fields. And we do have some issues, we try and take care of it right away. And we're really proud of our league, you know? And I have to give credit to Jerry, who's been one of the strong leaders there. And he's been the glue to keep it together. And hopefully we'll continue to be there. And hopefully you'll be there, Dave.
You're probably
going to be there next day, and you're the future.
Oh, because
we can't continue it. You know, we're pretty soon going to be moving on. So part of our goal is to develop the younger generation.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully to take over and then start working on developing it, you know, the financial aspect of it. Because money is reality. You got to, in order to work for this program, you got to have some money to maintain it.
Keep it functional.
But we refuse to go any higher the fees.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the fees that we charge is twice as much. The Evergreen charges twice as much as we do. And we want to keep it there where people can afford it.
Mm.
And that's been a challenge. And so there's that balance of not being a negative, but being a positive, but enough there to give support to our kids and our parents.
And then that's where we need to call on the community.
Yeah.
We need to call on the people of our neighborhoods to, you know, help out in any way they can. Oh, yeah. Is there a shout out right before I let you guys go? Is there a shout out you want to give to the folks out there?
Oh, yeah. Continually stay involved. Don't ever turn us down. Hey, the cause is great. It's your children. It's your community. Be there.
Yes.
Let's play ball.
You are there for the best times of their lives. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, David. Sure,
I want to thank Jerry and Tony for coming down this morning, and you are tuned in to Block to Block Radio. Oh, yeah.